I invite your attention to Haggai chapter 2 this evening. Haggai chapter 2, one of the minor prophets, one of my favorite, I think, and I've taught minor prophets in our Bible Institute as well as major prophets for many years over the years, and Haggai is one of my very favorite of all the minor prophets. His message is easily understood. It's very direct, and I want us to focus on a particular portion of Scripture and in words that he spoke under the inspiration of the Spirit of God tonight. Haggai chapter 2, verse 18 and 19, our text verses. The Bible says, "Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth. From this day will I bless you." And this is a turning point because of Haggai's ministry, a turning point for the nation of Israel. They had been commanded to rebuild the temple. And you recall, perhaps, that these are the post-exilic Jews that are here. They had been released from their Babylonian captivity, and many of them had gone back to the nation of Israel to rebuild the temple. And they were a little bit lax and slack in doing that. They'd been given the materials, and we'll talk about that as we go through, but the seed in the barn is an important analogy that's given, and one that I think that it would be good for us to explore this evening. This prophet's writing contains some tremendous truths revolving around doing things our way versus obeying God, simply obeying God. And the two brief chapters are hard-hitting chapters. The Jewish people in this text had missed out on a lot of things. They were doing things their own way instead of doing things as God had told them to. And God sent Haggai to correct that and to preach and challenge the people. And they did respond. They went ahead and made things right. And this is a revival that they experienced at this time. This book describes potential not realized and increase not rendered and blessings not received. In chapter 1, for example, we see in verse 1, "In the second year of Darius the king, in the 6th month, in the 1st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Then thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways." And he challenged them relative. He said the people were saying it's not time to rebuild the house of the Lord. And the challenge of the prophet Haggai was there in Haggai chapter 1, verse 4, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, in this house I waste?" And they had been provided with the building materials to rebuild the house of God, but instead, it seems to be that they had used the cedar planking that had been provided for the Lord's house to decorate and to improve their own houses. And you can imagine that this lumber, this sitting out in the yard for weeks and months, and the wife finally, for example, says, "Bring them inside, this stuff's getting weathered." And you lean against the wall for a certain amount of time, and then the next natural conclusion would be to attach it to the wall and spread it around a little bit so that it wouldn't be taking up so much space. And this may be what happened. But all the while, these people were claiming, it's not time, it's not the right time to build the Lord's house. And And so they were making excuses for themselves for disobeying what God had told them to do. The thing that I take away from this passage of Scripture, besides the fact that these people were not experiencing God's blessing, the Bible says here in verse 6, "You've sown much, but you bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes." I remember many, many years ago, one of the first messages I preached at our church when my father-in-law, Gordon Silcox, was still living and still the pastor of the church was a bag with holes. And you know, you can't collect much of anything if your bag is full of holes. And this is what Haggai the prophet addressed to the people. He said, "You sow a lot and you bring in little. You never seem to have enough. And he that earneth wages puts it in a bag full of holes." Because God's not blessing what you're doing because you have delayed in your obedience. And a little bit later on in chapter 2, he said, "Is the seed not yet in the barn?" In other words, everything that you have to be able to produce, everything that you have to be able to increase, everything that's necessary for you to be able to be blessed is right at your fingertips, but you're neglecting it.
That's right.
You're not taking advantage of the opportunity. I, having lived in the North Country for many years, primarily an agricultural region, understand that seed corn and seed wheat and seed potatoes are quite a bit more expensive than just the standard wheat and corn and potatoes. The increase is calculated on the basis of the cost of seed. And seed is very valuable because it's the root for it's the beginning of a new crop each season. And Haggai challenged the people and said, "You've got the seed in the barn, and what's it doing in the barn? Why isn't it out there being put to work? Why isn't it out there increasing like it's supposed to be? And you are at fault." And that's what I want us to consider with our application this evening. Let's pray and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will bless as we consider this important truth this evening. And Father, help us to see that you have provided for us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And we have everything that we need to be able to be productive and fruitful for the Lord. But sometimes we hold back. Sometimes we make excuses and we say, "It's not time yet. One of these days I will be busy for the Lord. I'll do what I know I ought to do." And Father, I pray that we'll understand that you want us to be busy now. We don't know. The Bible says we may not have tomorrow. We may not have the future. We don't know when the Lord is coming back. And I pray that we'll be busy and we'll be serving the Lord and we'll be productive with the time that we have. Bless our time together in the Word this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There are a number of things that we could consider seed in the barn. And this has to do with submission, it has to do with surrender, it has to do with doing what we know. I rejoiced over the fact that there were a number of families represented here and a number of couples here in the last couple of days as we had the couples conference. But you know that if the instruction that we receive, the Spirit of God gives us concerning love, concerning leadership, concerning longevity in marriage, concerning all these different subjects that we addressed in that couples conference, if all that information is not put to practice, that's seed in the barn.
That's right.
We are not doing what we know. We're not taking and putting to work the thing that God has given us, and we ought to be embarrassed and ashamed about that. It's a lack of submission. It's a lack of surrender, a lack of faith in what God could and would do. And Haggai told the people that he wanted them, that what God wanted them to do, but they didn't want to do it. They made up excuses and they tried to go on as if they didn't know. And Haggai corrected them on that and said, you need to get busy with what you know. You need to do what the Lord has commanded you to do. You've got the seed in the barn. It's there waiting to be put to practice. It's ready to be put to action. It's ready to be invested, but you're not doing it. And, you know, I think that there's probably not a person, a regular attender in this room tonight who would say something different than this. What a blessing it is to have access to the truth. What a blessing it is to hear the Word of God preached regularly and to find real answers for life. Amen?
Yeah.
We like that. We know that. We agree with that. But are we doing what we ought to do with it? And sometimes a church member has been likened to a sponge who just sits and soaks everything up and never gives out, never puts to work the thing that he's learned. And I would challenge you tonight to examine your life and see if there's seed in your barn that God may want you to put to work somehow. We have, for example, we have biblical instruction on the home. We have biblical instruction on the subject of personal holiness. We have good instruction on the subject of stewardship, honesty, which is reduced to stewardship in our terminology. We have good instruction in regard to the subject of honor, which would be the way we invest ourselves in the things of God, but the result is that we don't realize the goodness of our Father that He wishes to communicate to the world around us, and we don't take advantage of the opportunities we have many times, and we collect all this information, we take all these good things, but we don't put them to work, we don't put them to practice in our life. And may God help us to not just store the seed in the barn, but actually get it out there and put it to work. I want us to consider some special applications tonight. There is a seed of the home, of a godly home, and I've talked a little bit about leadership and love and longevity and loyalty in the home and all that. And these are elements that the world needs to see. There's far too little of that in our world today. And there is also the seed of honesty. We've been given a stewardship. And you know 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And there is so much that the Bible talks about our stewardship. The Bible says much about God's people giving of themselves. Giving is a major indicator of true surrender, the giving of time, the giving of resources, the giving of opportunity, the giving of truth. These are all applications that the Spirit of God would lead us in and would be honored if we would apply them ourselves. I think church fellowship, something that is rare in our world today. But I think to church fellowships, some people rarely bring any food to share. They just imagine that everybody's going to take care of them. And God gives us the responsibility to be good stewards of His increase, of what He's given to us. And He wants us to be involved in being a blessing to other people. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the Bible talks about our seed that's sown, and it must be sown in order to be able to experience an increase. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." In other words, if we use what we have, God will give us more. Some people wish they had more, but they're stingy with what they have. and they rarely ever share with anybody else. And so there's no reason for them to believe that God will increase what they have, because they're keeping the seed in the barn. They have opportunities to give. I think this passage of scripture is talking not about, I had a man tell me, he's not talking about, you know, anything other than the offering for the poor saints at Jerusalem, and that's what this text is about. That's why the Bible says every man according as he purposeth in his heart. It's not a rule for giving in our world today. I think the Bible establishes that very clearly, that the tithe is still something that God honors. In fact, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, but you've omitted and that these ought you to have done, not to leave undone, but you've omitted the weightier matters of the law, righteousness and judgment and mercy." And so this is not a rule for giving generally for the saints today, but the Bible does say that God will bless those who give bountifully. He that soweth sparingly will reap sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully will reap bountifully. And the Bible says that God blesses those who exercise honesty in their stewardship, and he'll bless that. He's given us so much. God has given us so much, and there's nobody here, I don't think, who would say, "The Lord has blessed me exceedingly abundantly. God's given me so much." And how much do you return to him for all he's done for you? And stewardship is an important part of this equation. And so we have the seed of honesty. I think it's only being basically honest when we talk about stewardship. A submissive spirit doesn't expect things from others, but just looks for ways to serve the Lord. And we understand this is true in marriage, but it's also true in serving and stewardship. And we should be honest with the opportunities that we have. The Bible teaches us that God will bless those who have an open heart and open hands as a result. Amen. This is an important principle for the child of God. Don't leave the seed in the barn. And there's the seed of holiness as well. We would compare this to standards. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 17, the Bible says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be as separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Personal holiness yields major rewards in so many areas, but a lot of people won't receive those rewards because they keep their seed in the barn and they're ashamed or afraid to separate themselves from the things of this world, from the people of this world. They don't want to have that mark upon them. And so as a result of that, they keep that seed in the barn and they don't choose to follow the principles for holy living that the Spirit of God would guide us to. And this is a matter, again, it's a matter of surrender and submission to God. And somebody says, "I don't really prefer to do that," or "I'm not comfortable with it," or "I don't feel like doing this." And that doesn't really have anything to do with the situation. I think about the people of Israel to whom Haggai was sent to preach the word of God. Is it time for you to dwell in your sealed houses? So it's not time to build the house of God. It's not what we want to do right now. There's too much resistance. There's too much of a fight going on. May God help us that we would live holy lives unto the Lord, separated unto the Lord, even in the face of terrible resistance. The Bible teaches us that there is a price to pay for genuine discipleship, and God's people should be willing to pay that price. If they're truly surrendered and yielded to the Lord, that will not be a problem for them. God has called his people to holiness. If Jesus Christ were here, he would present a holy example. And how would he want us to live? Somebody has said that if Jesus was coming to live in your house, things would probably be very different. If Jesus were coming to spend time in your home, some things that are the regular fare would disappear. Some things, some habits of life would change, and some attendance to some certain functions at the church would be enhanced because the Lord is there. You know what? He is there. He is there. And for those who name the name of Christ, who claim his name, who've repented and trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, he is there.
Amen.
And there's no reason to imagine otherwise.
Good.
And he just wants us to live with a heart of surrender, with a spirit of submission to him, and put to work the things that we know. Put to work. Do what you know. Oh, I know this is how God's people should live. Why don't you live that way? Why aren't you conducting yourself that way on a daily basis? And I trust that you are. I pray that you are. And I don't know anything about this church other than good things. And so I can't speak to any of that. But I do know that it's our natural tendency to be self-willed. It's our natural tendency to follow the flesh instead of follow the Spirit.
Amen.
And so I would challenge you tonight to not leave the seed in the barn. Put to practice those things that you know. Do what you know and surrender to the Lord to be the kind of child of God that will bring him honor and glory.
Amen.
And this is a matter of the seed of holiness. God wants us to be involved in his service. There is also the seed of honor. We could call this service to the Lord, and we're honoring God versus lifting ourselves up in pride. And this has many applications. Soul winning is one application. Service is another application. Serving others, serving Christ. These are commands that God has given us. And you know, for the life of me, and although I will confess I'm not as faithful at witnessing as I should be, because nobody likes to face rejection. Nobody likes to be on the receiving end of a door slamming in their face. No one enjoys that. The fact of the matter is, we would all say, I've been given the great gift of eternal life through the message of the gospel. This has been, somebody put themselves at risk to share the truth with me. But I won't do that for anybody else. Is the seed yet in the barn? We have the answers. We have the answer to eternal life, but we're not willing to share it with others in a lot of cases. May God help us to be faithful in that area. So the seeds of honor and put away our pride and be obedient to the Lord relative to soul winning, relative to service, working for the Lord and serving others and being involved in work at the church. I can deeply appreciate a pastor saying, let's all come out to the work day that's scheduled. We have for many years owned our own Bible camp, and it wouldn't function, it wouldn't operate without a lot of people willing to volunteer to work. It takes a lot, and to run a facility like you've got here at Lehigh Valley Baptist Church takes a lot of work and takes a lot of effort and a lot of volunteer service for people to just come and do things, somebody to make repairs, somebody to clean up, somebody to mow the grass, somebody to do various things around the facility that need to be done. And may God work and stir upon every heart. You know what? I could do that. I could volunteer. I could be a worker. I could serve Christ. I could make this place more presentable. I could fix something that I notice needs to be fixed. And service, not only in a physical capacity, but serving Christ in the sense that I'm willing to be what he wants me to be. I surrender to him. And I want to be all that God would have me to be. Don't leave the seed in the barn, and let God use you in the greatest possible capacity. Get the seed out of the barn. The issue becomes willingness. The issue becomes sight versus faith, commitment versus reliance on the flesh, commitment to God. Go back with me once more to Haggai chapter 2, and we'll read a couple more verses on this subject before we finish dismiss tonight. Haggai chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, the Bible says, "Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory, and how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing?" And this is a matter of sight versus faith. Part of the disincentive for these people to get busy doing what God had commanded them to do and liberated them to do in the first place, part of the disincentive was that it didn't look like it was much of anything. How do you see it now? It's just compared to Solomon's temple that has now been destroyed, compared later on to Herod's temple, which would be a glorious sight to behold. But they were thinking of how it must have been in Solomon's day. How do you see it now? Is it not in your sight as nothing? It's not much. What you are able to accomplish may not seem like very much. And so this becomes a sight versus faith issue. Is it what God wants? Verse 4 says, "Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Shealtiel, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts." God says, "I'll be with you." And a little bit later in the chapter, the Bible says, God said that he would bless them from this day forward because they went ahead and submitted to God. And they humbled themselves, and they had a real revival there among the people there because of this prophet's message. Amen. And if you read on, they worked and they completed the house. They put the house of God back into a functioning capacity, and they finished building it, and they used the building materials they had. And in their sight, in the sight of the mind, maybe they'd say it's not much. It's not what it used to be. It's not very much at all. But it was what God wanted them to do. It was the surrender. It was the humility that God was looking for them to do what they were commanded of God to do. And they did get the seed out of the barn. So whether we're talking about our home, whether we're talking about honor or honesty, whether we're talking about humility, whatever it is, we should be impressed of God when we have answers that this world needs, when we have resources that we can invest in the work of God for His honor and glory. We should use those things. We should put those to work. And that's a message that carries to us through the ages, from the days of Haggai, when the people were challenged, perhaps shocked by his boldness, by his address. But they were brought to a place of humility and surrender and submission, and they yielded to God. May we likewise yield to the Lord and be what he wants us to be.
Amen.
Let's pray.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for allowing us this time, and I pray that you would help us as your people to be willing to get the seed out of the barn and be faithful with what we know. And there are so many things that we don't know, but woe to us if what we do know, we don't do. Help us, Father, help us be faithful. May we be humble and submissive before our great God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Hammond.